له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله
أما بعد then to continue with شرح السنة of Imam al-Barbahari رحمه الله then last time we had point number 126 which was a point with regard to commanding the good and forbidding the evil. And Sheikh Fawzan mentioned that this important duty, which is one of the supports of the religion, that this duty of commanding the good and forbidding the evil occurs in a number of ayahs of the Qur'an. And he mentioned those ayahs. And Sheikh Fawzan made clear that it is not correct for a person to say, I will just concern myself with myself. I just have to rectify myself, and that's all that concerns me. And then he leaves off the rest of the people. But rather, it is upon the believer to seek to rectify the people, the rest of the people as well, by himself and to rectify others. And that this is a part of an-nasiha, sincerity, that is due to the rest of the Muslims. And it is a part of wishing good for others, just the same as you wish it for yourself. And so therefore it is an obligation upon you to command the good and to forbid the evil. And as Sheikh Fawzan said, it's not a case, as is said by the people of hypocrisy and the people of evil, that ordering other people with the good or forbidding them, especially forbidding them from evil, is a case of interfering in their affairs. That is not the case. It's not a case of you making yourself a superintendent over them, a watcher over them. That's not the case. And he made clear that those who carry out this duty of ordering the good and forbidding the evil, they have to put up with a lot of speech from the people against them, backbiting and evil speech about them. But they put up with this and they bear this, bearing in mind that they are doing it in Allah's cause. So they put up with that and carry on. And likewise, he mentioned the hadith that none of you fully believes until he loves for his brother that which he loves for himself. And then he moved on to the important hadith with regard to the levels of ordering the good and forbidding the evil. The hadith that whoever amongst you sees an evil, then let him correct it with his hand. And if he is not able, then with his tongue. And if he is not able, then with his heart. And that is the weakest of iman. That is the weakest of faith. Or in another wording, that there is not beyond that even a mustard seed of iman. So Sheikh Fawzan made it clear that the first of these levels, correcting something with the hand, directly stopping the evil with the hand, and that is for those who have the authority to do so. For example, the ruler of the place, the ruler of that country, or someone appointed by the ruler for that duty. Or someone who has limited authority, like a father in his house, a person whose house it is, within his own house, then he has the right to correct an evil with his hand. And then if he is not able to do that, or does not have the authority to do that, then he corrects with his tongue. He directly advises the person who is committing the evil, pulling him aside, or by lessons, or khutbas, or the like, correcting that evil. Or if he is not able to correct him one-to-one, that he won't take the advice, then conveying his affair to those in authority who can correct it. And if he is prevented from that, he is prevented and not able to correct with the hand or the tongue, then at the very least he must reject that evil with his heart. Hate and reject the evil with his heart. And that is the weakest of faith. And doing so, he keeps away from the gatherings of evil. If there's evil gatherings going on, he can't correct it with his hand, with his tongue, then at the very least he keeps himself away. And he doesn't say, well, the people are doing this, therefore I'm just one of the people, I can engage in the same thing. He doesn't do that. He keeps away from that and hates it with his heart. And if he doesn't hate the evil with his heart, then he has no iman. And then the exception was mentioned, the exception for correcting the evil with the hand or with the tongue. There's an exception, as the author mentioned, if you, it's a case where you're going to be killed or you're going to be beaten if you correct it. Then you can leave that correction. You're excused in that case. However, you still hate it with your heart. Because as Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, people do not know what is in your heart. So nobody is able to stop you from hating it with your heart. Then Imam Al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he follows that with a point that comes in here in volume 2 on page 166. Point number 127. وَالتَسْلِيمُ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَالتَسْلِيمُ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ أَجْمَعِينَ And the salutation, the greeting of salam, is to be given to all of Allah's worshippers. And the taslim, salutation, the greeting of salam, is to be given to all of Allah's worshippers. Shaykh Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, from the right which the Muslims have upon each other is the spreading of the greeting of salam between them. Allah the Majestic and Most High said, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, Ayah 86, with the explanation, and if you are greeted with a greeting, then respond with a better greeting, or at least respond with its like. Indeed, Allah is ever one who preserves the deeds of the creation and will recompense them for them. And Shaykh Fawzan mentions a second evidence. He said, He the Most High said, فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ Surah An-Nur, the 24th Surah, Ayah 61, with the explanation. So when you enter your homes, then give the greeting of salam to each other. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning, let you give the greeting of salam to each other. Because the believers are just like a single soul, and they are just like a single body. And the salutation, the salam, is the greeting of the believers. It will be the greeting of the believers on the day when they meet Allah, the Perfect and Most High. He, the Most High, said, تَحِيَّتُهُمْ يَوْمَ يَلْقَوْنَهُ سَلَامٌ Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd Surah, Ayah 44. With the explanation, the ayah being in the context of the believers on the Day of Resurrection, that their greeting on the day when they will meet Him, their greeting on the day when they will meet Allah, is Salam. Shaykh Fawzan said, explaining, Allah, the Perfect and Most High, will greet them with the greeting of peace. And they will hear his speech and his greeting of salam. And they will respond to his greeting of salam. So they will say, Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. O Allah, you are as-salam. You are the one free of all imperfections. You're the impeccable one, flawless one, the perfect one. And from you is as-salam, and from you is peace and security. Shaykh Fawzan said, and likewise, the inhabitants of paradise, their greeting in it, between themselves, will be salam. So they will greet each other with the greeting of salam, of peace, in paradise. And likewise, in this world, they greet each other with the greeting of salam. And spreading the greeting of salam is one of the means of entry into paradise, in peace and security. just as occurs in the hadith. مَنْ أَطْعَمَ الطَّعَامِ وَأَفْشَ السَّلَامِ وَصَلَّى بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةُ بِالسَّلَامِ. The hadith that whoever provides with food and spreads the greeting of salam and prays by night whilst the people are sleeping, then he will enter paradise in peace and security. In the footnote they mention that this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad in the Musnad, and by Tirmidhi in his Sunan, and Ad-Darimi, and Ibn Majah, and Al-Hakim, and Abdiya Al-Maqdisi in Al-Mukhtara, and by others, from a hadith of Abdullah Ibn Salam, who said, when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Al-Madinah, the people rushed towards him, and it was said, Allah's Messenger has arrived. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has arrived. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has arrived. He said, so I came amongst the people to look upon him, to look at him. So when I look carefully at the face of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I knew that his face was not the face of a liar. And the first thing that he spoke with was that he said, أيها الناس أفشوا السلام وأطعموا الطعام وصلوا والناس نيام تدخلون الجنة بسلام. The first thing that he spoke with was, O people, spread the greeting of salam and provide with food and pray whilst the people are sleeping. You will enter paradise in peace and security. Then they say, At-Tirmidhi said about this hadith, it is a hadith which is hasan sahih, good, authentic. And it was declared authentic by Al-Hakim to the standard of two sheikhs, and Al-Dhahabi agreed. As a side point, likewise, Sheikh Al-Albani declared the hadith sahih, authentic. Then Sheikh Fawzan, hafizullah, he said, after mentioning the hadith, so spreading the greeting of salam between the Muslims is something desirable. And its meaning is to make a supplication for the Muslims for peace and security. And it is otherwise said, its meaning is that the name of Allah be upon you. Because from the names of Allah is As-Salam, the flawless one, the one free of all imperfections. So if you say, As-Salamu Alaikum, As-Salam be upon you, meaning the name of Allah be upon you. And he is As-Salam, he the perfect and most high. So this is a tremendous word which is spread amongst the Muslims. Just as a side point here, in addition to what occurs here, just as a side point, whoever wants it, then Al-Qadhi Iyad, because of the importance of obviously the greeting of salam and the meaning of the greeting of salam, then Al-Qadhi Iyad said, in his explanation of Sahih Muslim, he said, as for the meaning of As-Salam, I mean, as for the meaning of the greeting of Salam, then it is said, its meaning here is, may Allah's name, meaning may Allah's guardianship and protection be upon you. I mean, what's the meaning when you give somebody the greeting of Salam? What are you saying? What supplication are you making? He said, meaning, may Allah's guardianship and protection be upon you. Just as it is said, Allahu ma'aka, may Allah be with you, and Allah yusahibu, may Allah accompany you. And As-Salam is from the names of Allah. And then he said, and its meaning, the name of Allah the Most High, As-Salam, is As-Salim min al-Naqais wal-Ma'ayib. It means the one who is free of all deficiencies and faults. Or it is said that it means the one who renders his servants safe and secure. Or it is said, the one who renders, or rather it is the one who greets his beloved servants in paradise. Or it is said, it is the one who renders them safe from his punishment. So all that just being a side point, in addition to what occurs here. And back to the explanation of Sheikh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah. So he just mentioned, with regard to the greeting of salam, he said, so if you say As-salamu alaykum, it means the name of Allah be upon you. And he is As-salam, he the perfect and most high. So this is a tremendous word which is spread amongst the Muslims. And then he said, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا أفلا أدلكم على أمر إذا فعلتموه تحاببتم أفشوا السلام بينكم. But Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, you will not enter paradise unless you are believers. And you will not become complete believers until you have love for each other. Shall I not guide you to something which, if you do it, you will have love for each other? Spread the greeting of salam amongst yourselves. In the footnote they mention, this is reported by Muslim in his Sahih, it's hadith number 54, from a hadith of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so spreading the greeting of salam produces love in the hearts. And when you meet, he said rather, and when you are met by a Muslim, and he does not give you the greeting of salam, then you feel something in yourself against him. Salam. When you are met by your Muslim brother, when you are met by a Muslim, and he doesn't give you the greeting of salam, then something occurs in yourself against him. So you say, why didn't he give me the greeting of salam? But if he gives you the greeting of salam, then what is within your soul, what is within yourself, passes away. And you have good feelings towards him. And you have love for him. So this is in full accordance with the truth of his saying, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, أَفَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ أَفْشُوا السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. The hadith that we just heard from Sahih Muslim, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, shall I not guide you to a matter which if you do it, you will have love for each other? Spread the greeting of salam amongst yourselves. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so spreading the greeting of salam has a tremendous effect upon the souls of the Muslims. And it will not be sufficient that you say, Hayyakallah, may Allah give you life. Kayfa asbahta, how have you entered the morning? Kayfa amsayta, how are you this evening? These wordings follow on after the salam. If you say As-salamu alaykum, then you can say Kayfa haluk, how are you? Kayfa asbahta, how are you this morning? And the like of that. And likewise, it is not sufficient to make an indication with the hand, because this is the greeting of the Jews. It's not sufficient you make a wave with the hand, for this is the greeting of the Jews. In the footnote they mention, An-Nasa'i reported in his Sunan al-Kubra from Jabir radiallahu anhu that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تسلموا تسليم اليهود والنصارى فإن تسليمهم بالأكف والرؤوس والإشارة. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not give the greeting of the Jews and the Christians, For their greeting, their salutation, is with the hands and with the heads, and by making an indication. Then they mention in the footnote, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar said in Fathul Bari, An-Nasa'i reported it with a good chain of narration. And as a side point, this hadith was declared Hasan, good by Shaykh al-Albani, in Sahih al-Jami', and he declared it strong in As-Sahiha, hadith 1783. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan finished this section by saying, making an indication with the hand is only to be done if the one whom you are giving the greeting of salam to is far away. So in that case, you give him the greeting of salam with the wording, and you also indicate with your hand to make him aware that you are giving him the greeting of salam, so that he can respond the greeting of salam to you. Then Imam Al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he follows that point with a further point, point number 128, where he says, وَمَنْ تَرَكَ صَلَاتَ الْجُمُعَةِ وَالْجَمَاعَاتِ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ مِنْ غَيْرِ عُذْرٍ فَهُوَ مُبْتَدِعٌ وَالْعُذْرُ كَمَرَضٍ لَا طَاقَةَ لَهُ بِالْخُرُوجِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ أَوْ خَوْفٍ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ ظَالِمٍ وَمَا سِوَى ذَلِكَ فَلَا أُذْرَ لَكَ. He said, and whoever abandons the Jumu'ah prayer and the congregational prayer and the congregational prayers in the mosque without a valid excuse, then he is an innovator. And the valid excuse is such as an illness because of which he is unable to go out to the mosque, or fear of an oppressive ruler. And whatever is besides that, then there is no excuse for you. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said in explanation, he's saying, وَمَنْ تَرَكَ صَلَاةَ الْجُمْعَةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أُذْرٍ فَهُوَ مُبْتَدِعٌ. Whoever abandons the Jumu'ah prayer and the congregational prayer in the mosque without a valid excuse, then he is an innovator. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, because he is detaching himself away from the Jama'ah, from the united body of the Muslims. And detaching oneself away from the united body of the Muslims and isolating oneself away is an innovation, a bid'ah. And the congregational prayer is obligatory and a binding duty upon the Muslim. And likewise, even more emphasized than it, is the Jumu'ah prayer, Friday prayer. So it is obligatory upon the Muslim to attend the Jumu'ah prayer and the congregational prayer along with the Muslims. And that he does not keep himself away from the body of the Muslims in the prayer, in the Jumu'ah prayer and the congregational prayer. Because prayer along with the congregation is essential. Because congregational prayer is obligatory and a binding duty upon every Muslim. He will be sinful for leaving it. Indeed, he should be given correctional punishment also. Because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man sami'a an-nida'a falam yajib fala salata lahu illa min udhr. Qila wa mal udhr? Qal khawfun aw marad. He said, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever hears the call, min yadhan, whoever hears the call and he does not respond, then there will be no prayer for him except due to a valid excuse. It was said, and what is a valid excuse? He said, fear or illness. In the footnote here, they mention, and they divide the hadith into two parts here, as it occurs here, two parts. Firstly, reported by Abu Dawood in his Sunan, and Ad-Darqutni, and Al-Hakim in Al-Mustadrak, and Al-Bayhaqi, from a hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And that's with the full wording there, that they asked, what is a valid excuse? And the answer was given, fear or illness. Then with regard to that narration, then Sheikh Al-Albani mentioned in his checking of Abu Dawood, it is sahih, it is authentic, without the sentence about excuse, and without the explanation of what is an other excuse. That the main part of the hadith, the first sentence, that whoever hears the call and does not respond, then there will be no prayer for him, except on account of an excuse. That being authentic. Then they mentioned in the footnote, the hadith also reported by Ibn Majah and Ibn Hibban, and it was declared authentic by Ad-Diya in Al-Mukhtara, with the wording, مَنْ سَمِعَ النِّدَاءَ فَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ فَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ إِلَّا مِنْ عُذْرٍ. That whoever hears the call and does not come to it, then there will be no prayer for him, except on account of an excuse. Then this narration, which occurs in Ibn Majah, as we just heard, Shaykh al-Albani said with regard to this, that it is sahih, authentic. Shaykh al-Fawzan, haqqullah, he said, having mentioned the hadith, and when a blind man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioning the difficulties that lay between him and between the mosque, and that he had no guide who was suitable to take him, and he requested a concession from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he could pray in his house, then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, هَلْ تَسْمَعُ النِّدَاءُ. Do you hear the call? So he said, yes. So he said, فَأَجِبْ. Then respond. The hadith, as I mentioned, in the footnote being reported by Muslim, is hadith 653 from a hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the person who hears the call does not have the option to stay away. And therefore he said, مَنْ سَمِعَ النِّدَاءَ فَلَمْ يَجِبْ فَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ إِلَّا مِنْ عُذْرٍ. Whoever hears the call and he does not respond, then there will be no prayer for him, except on account of an excuse. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, his prayer will not be correct. So with regard to the negation of his prayer being, of his prayer, the Shaykh said, so the negation, it is said that it is a negation of correctness. His prayer will not be correct. And it is said otherwise, لَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ, that there will be no prayer for him, means there will be no complete prayer for him. So this being a negation of completeness. There are two sayings amongst people of knowledge. One is that it means his prayer will not be correct at all. But the second one is a negation of its being complete. It will not be complete. Then the Shaykh said, Shaykh Fawzan, however, what is apparent from the hadith is that his prayer will not be correct unless he has an excuse, a valid excuse. So this is a proof for the obligation of praying in congregation with the Jama'ah in the mosque from where the call is given for it. And therefore Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يَلْقَ اللَّهَ غَدًا مُسْلِمًا فَلْيُحَافِظْ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ الصَّلَوَاتِ حَيْثُ يُنَادَى بِهِنَّ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَرَعَ لِنَبِيِّكُمْ سُنَنَ الْهُدَى وَإِنَّهُنَّ مِنْ سُنَنِ الْهُدَى وَلَوْ أَنَّكُمْ صَلَّيْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ كَمَا يُصَلِّي هَذَا الْمُتَخَلِّفُ فِي بَيْتِهِ لَتَرَكْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيِّكُمْ وَلَوْ تَرَكْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيِّكُمْ لَضَلَلْتُمْ وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنَا وَمَا يَتَخَلَّفُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا مُنَافِقٌ مَعْلُومٌ النِّفَاقُ وَلَقَدْ كَانَ الرَّجُلُ يُؤْتَى بِهِ يُهَادَى بَيْنَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ حَتَّى يُقَامَ فِي الصَّفِّ. He said that the companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, whoever would be pleased to meet Allah tomorrow as a Muslim, then let him observe and be careful about these prayers, where they are called to, where the call for them is given from. For Allah legislated for your Prophet sunnas, paths of guidance, and they are from the paths of guidance. And if you were to pray within your houses, just as this person who stays away prays in his house, then you would have left the sunnah of your Prophet. And if you were to leave the sunnah of your Prophet, you would go astray. And you would have used to have seen us, and no one would stay away from it except for a hypocrite whose hypocrisy was well known. And a man used to be brought, being supported by two men, until he was made to stand within the row. In the footnote they mention, reported by Muslim in his Sahih, Hadith 654, from a hadith of Abu Huraira, they mention from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, anyway, he said, this is how the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to be with the congregational prayer, to such an extent that the sick person who was not able to walk would be brought, being supported between two men, until he was caused to stand in the row, because of their knowledge that the congregational prayer is obligatory. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described those who stay away from the congregational prayer with hypocrisy, with nifaq. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Athqalu salawati ala al-munafiqin, salatu isha wa salatu al-fajr." That the heaviest of the prayers upon the hypocrites are the Isha prayer and the Fajr prayer. In the footnote they mention, this is reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, and you'll find it there, the basis of the hadith as hadith number 644. And you'll find this actual wording in Al-Bukhari in disconnected form in chapter, rather in book number 9, The Times of the Prayer, chapter 20. And reported by Muslim in his Sahih as hadith 651. Shaykh Fawzan said, having quoted this hadith, "And Allah bore witness to the iman, the true faith, of those who frequent and maintain the mosques for prayer. So He, the Most High, said, 'Innama ya'muru masajid Allahi man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir wa aqama as-salata wa ata az-zakata wa lam yakhsha illa Allah.'" Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th Surah, Ayah 18. And you may have spotted, if you've got the same edition that I've got, on page 172, the first line should be crossed out. It's a printing error. The whole of the first line here, and the first two words of the second line, Ya'muru Masajid. From the third word on, it's correct. So it's a printing error here. إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th Surah, Ayah 18. With the explanation, the mosques of Allah are only truly frequented and maintained by those who truly believe in Allah, those who have iman in Allah and in the last day, and who establish the prayer, and who give the zakat, and who do not fear except Allah. Shaykh Fawzan said, so the congregational prayer is something tremendous, so one should not be lax about it, nor should any attention be given to those who encourage people to be lax about it. For why then were the mosques built, if the congregational prayer were not obligatory? Why are the mosques established then? And why are they spent upon? and built with money that is spent upon them. And imams and muadhins are appointed for them. Is it just because they are a sunnah? Because it is a sunnah? Is all of this just because it is a sunnah? No. This indicates that the congregational prayer is obligatory. The mosques were not built just in order for a sunnah to be established. Rather, they were built to establish an obligation. So it is obligatory to be aware of this. And attention should not be given to the foolish talk of those people who take hold of the sayings which are contrary to this. Or rather, he said, attention should be not given to the foolish talk of those who take hold of the sayings which are contrary to the evidence, and who gather them and say, these are the sayings of the scholars. We say, the sayings of the scholars are sometimes wrong and sometimes correct. So what is obligatory is to follow the dalil, to follow the proof, not to follow the sayings of the people. Then he said, he's saying, وَمَنْ تَرَكَ صَلَاةَ الْجُمُعَةِ, and whoever leaves the Jumu'ah prayer. Shaykh Fawzan said, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, مَنْ تَرَكَ ثَلَاثَ جُمُعٍ تَهَاوُنًا طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever leaves off three Jumu'ah prayers, being lax concerning them, Allah will set a seal upon his heart. In the footnote they mention, this is reported by Ahmad and Ad-Darimi and Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. At-Tirmidhi said it was Hassan, and by Ibn Majah and An-Nasa'i. And they mention a list of others who report the hadith, from a hadith of Abu Ja'ad Ad-Damri radiallahu anhu. And that An-Nawawi said in Khulasat al-Ahkam, its chain of narration is Hassan, good. And al-Hakim said it is Sahih to the standard of Muslim, and al-Dhahabi agreed. And as a side point, Shaykh al-Albani declared the hadith Hassan, Sahih, good, authentic. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes a second hadith in this regard. He said, and he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, لَا يَنْتَهِيَنَّ أَقْوَامٌ عَنْ وَدِعِهِمُ الْجُمُعَاتِ أَوْ لَيَخْتِمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ ثُمَّ لَيَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. He said, people will certainly desist from leaving off the Jumu'ah prayers, or otherwise Allah will set a seal upon their hearts. Then they will certainly be from the heedless people. Then they will certainly be from the heedless ones. In the footnote they mention, reported by Muslim in his Sahih as Hadith 865, from Abdullah ibn Umar and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhum. And Shaykh Fawzan finished by saying, he's saying, wal udhru kal marad, and a valid excuse such as illness. He said, as occurs at the end of the hadith that he said, khawfun al marad, fear or illness. Shaykh Fawzan said, illness which prevents the person from going to the mosque, or which is such that it is feared that it will result in his illness worsening, or that he will encounter something which will affect him and increase his illness, or otherwise fear of an enemy, or fear of a wild animal, fear which is confirmed and not just cowardice. Rather, fear that is confirmed, that there will be in the path, or that he will meet in the path an enemy, or he will be met by a wild animal that will attack him. So this person has an excuse that he can pray within his house. But as for the person who is secure and healthy, then he does not have excuse. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, ends explanation of that point. And just briefly, to finish, on the explanation of Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, on this point, then he said, Shaykh Ahmad said, I say, unrestrictedly, because he comments on the initial phrase, whoever leaves off the Jumu'ah prayer and the congregational prayer in the mosque without a valid excuse, فَهُوَ مُبْتَدِعَ, that he is an innovator. Shaykh Ahmad said, I say, unrestrictedly applying the term مُبْتَدِعَ, innovator, to the one who leaves off praying in the mosque. This should perhaps be taken as not being general. Then he explains, he said, so whoever leaves off the Jumu'ah prayer and the congregational prayer because he dislikes praying behind some of the rulers, thinking that he, that ruler, is a kafir, a disbeliever, or a wicked individual, and that it is not permissible to follow, to pray behind him, then he will be an innovator. The one who does this will be an innovator. However, the one who leaves it without this intention, he will be a fasiq, a sinful person, and he may be a hypocrite. So therefore, he would not be an innovator, not except for the one who leaves off the prayer of Jumu'ah and Jama'ah based upon belief, based upon a belief which he has that it is not befitting to pray behind this imam. But as for other than him, then the term of innovation is not applied to him. Rather, if he leaves off the congregational prayer out of laziness, then he is a sinner. And if he leaves it not believing in it, then he is a hypocrite. He said, and then he made clear the excuse, the valid excuse, by saying, such as illness, which does not enable the person to go out to the mosque, or fear of an oppressive ruler. And whatever is besides that is not an excuse for him. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.